You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 11 January. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry. A couple of points I want to touch on. Steinhoff listing mattress firm, US inflation. What the heck happened to oil while I was on leave? Evan Walker from 361. Local retail stocks heading into 2022. They were quite bearish last year. Turned a neutral sort of mid-year. Keen to see what he's looking for going into the year. And then Bianca Botas from Citadel Global Exchange Controls. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. How much electricity 1,000 or 2,000 rand will buy you in SA's biggest metros? Man, the numbers are vast and differences. Maybe we should go live in the cheaper cities. Business Day, new vehicle sales likely to grow 8% this year. Sales were up 22% last year, year on year. That's a skewed figure because of 2020, but it is better than what most people had expected and more growth expected this year. Good for motors, good for combined motor holdings. Morning markets, US was very red at one point, but then closed mixed with the S&P off 0.1 and NASDAQ up 0.1%. Asia red, Sydney 0.5% down, Tokyo almost 1% weaker. Commodities green overnight, gold 1,807, Brent 80.85 a barrel, rhodium still running higher 17,500, Rand 15.66. Top 40 looking for a green open about 320 points. What's that? 0.5% higher as 10¢ trades 1.6% up in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money, also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning time. It's data coming out of the US. It's due tomorrow afternoon, our time. It will be their December inflation. Markets expecting what will probably be another fairly high number, plus 6%. And of course, we had the Federal Reserve Open Monetary Committee minutes, which also spooked the market. What's your take on US inflation and interest rates as we roll through 2022?
Well, look, Simon, this is really the only question investment managers and any investors have to answer. You get this one right, you'll be okay. You get this one wrong, you could be totally in a very, very bad position in your respect of your portfolios. So just on the number that's coming out this week, it's going to be a shocker, but the market knows that it could easily be above 7%. But hopefully that's the peak. But if by, let's say, the third quarter this year, if inflation's not down to 2-2.5% in America, there will be a rapid increase in interest rates. Look, interest rates are going up. There's no doubt about that at all. And this quantitative tightening is only going to accelerate. Mm. So the end result of all of this is that the free lunch that equities has had for 12 years is finished. So now the question is, how much of an effect will this have on the market valuation? So it's not an effect on the economy per se. I mean, economic growth will slow down, but I doubt if the economy will be destroyed by higher interest rates. So it won't be the share market won't come under pressure because the economy is under pressure. The share market will come under pressure because the rating, the actual valuation of the market, is still more or less where it was during the free money time, and the free money time is now over.
Gotcha.
So how much is it going to fall? Truly, that's the only question. Is it going to go back 10%, 15%, or 40%? Those are the alternatives you're looking at.
They are, and they're between benign, 10%, 40% is scary. But and the issue is Jerome Powell and his team find themselves in a tough spot. They're going to start raising rates. I imagine they're hoping that base effect's actually going to pull that inflation down by year end, so they can maybe.
And I think it will.
I think so too, and so maybe only 2 or 3 rate increases from the US, which the market can more or less take, and then obviously
The market will be able to sustain that. Look, the real question, inflation comes from various sources in America.
Yeah.
First of all, you've got the bottlenecks because of the virus. That will work its way out of the system. So that will be out by the middle of this year. The second one is commodity prices. Now, I know oil's 80, 81, but year on year, it's probably negative. And certainly all the other big commodities, iron ore, palladium, platinum, coal, all of those are actually negative year on year by the middle of this year. So that will work out of the system. But then it's wage inflation.
Yeah.
And we've the answer's not out on that one yet.
And we haven't seen that in a while. You mentioned oil, Brent, just shy of $81. I got to say, I was surprised to come back to holiday and see so it so high. I suppose in a sense that if we're moving through the virus, Omicron, perhaps the beginning of the end of the pandemic, then global growth and demand and hence oil.
Yes. But look, I mean, oil's an artificial price because of supply restrictions. You know, every other commodity, you know, iron ore, went from 200 to 100. You know, oil didn't do that. So it's an artificial market. And personally, I don't quite understand why they want to keep the price high, because it'll just accelerate the already well-established move to electric. So I think they're shooting themselves in the foot by keeping the price high, because you go and fill up your car with petrol, costs you 1,300 rand. Your next car is electric, eh?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've chatted before. Sort of 60 to 70 is that Goldilocks zone. Quick last one. Steinhoff announced that they're going to be listing Mattress Firm. They're not going to get very much for it. Mattress Firm was perhaps the canary in the coal mine, in hindsight, correct, when they what, 115% premium for that business?
Yeah. Look, they were obviously buying that to try and hide all the other things that were happening in the system. But yes, they're massively overpaid. But, you know, from the absolute bottom, the Steinhoff share price,
yeah,
shoot, what's it up, 200%, 250% from the bottom?
Is it still just a punter stock, or is it something which a fund manager such as yourself would have a good look at?
No, look, you know, unfortunately, we're all human. You know, after you've been burnt on something like that, you sit back and you wait a long time, if ever, before you invest it again.
Yeah, markets have memories. I take your point on that. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Evan Walker, Portfolio Manager at 361 Asset Management. Evan, appreciate the time again. We chatted a couple of times last year. I think the last time was around mid-year. And if my memory serves, it was ahead of the riots in KZN in July. You'd been bearish on local retail, but the caveat was the grants from government, the 350, they came back. So we had some parts of retail actually did fairly well. ShopRite, Dis-Chem, Lewis, others, Pick and Pay, Spar, not so much. What's your reading on the sector going into 2022?
Hi, yes, good morning. I think it's a very similar stance to us to last year. I mean, we're quite cautious. I mean, we do own some ShopRite in the portfolio. I think we're looking for stocks where there is still potential market share gains from its competitive base. But I think it's going to be a reasonably average year. I mean, we can see the pressure that consumers are under, and there's still, as we discussed last year, there's still a huge amount of stimulus in the base, you know, going all the way back to 2020 now. Mm. We saw huge amounts of, number one, government stimulus, and then a lot of retrenchment money, unfortunately, getting paid out, which continued last year. So there's a huge amount of once-off payments, which, you know, we're beginning to see now come to an end, and we've seen it in a lot of the discretionary-type money, i.e. the cash bill trading updates, the numbers coming out of Mass Bill, etc. in some of the stables now, where the more discretionary like money is hit hard. We still think it'll be an average year for the non-discretionary money. Obviously, the retailers, the food retailers, etc. We're seeing obviously slightly higher food inflation creep through the system now. We've just been discussing with Wayne, obviously global inflation. We've seen similar dynamics in the SA environment, specifically with the flow through from oil. So we'd like to see higher food inflation for longer. We've seen obviously the poultry guys suffering with very high input costs. I mean, they're passing through price increases. We'll see another one quite shortly, I think, from the likes of Astral, et cetera, into the first quarter of this year. And they've already passed through 2-3 in the late part of last year. So, you know, we're going to be sitting with relatively high food inflation, high input costs from the consumer side on oil, et cetera, and petrol. So it's going to be a tough, tough year. And I think the likes of potentially ShopRite will probably still do well, but we're very nervous at discretionary guys because we've seen the numbers coming out at the high end of discretionary income levels, et cetera, into the last quarter of last year.
And of particular risk is that extra 350 Rand. The government withdrew it, brought it back after the July riots, and the budget next month, and maybe it gets extended. If that 350 disappears, as is currently the plan, I mean, that's going to have massive impact, particularly, as you say, on that discretionary. I know it's only 350, but most of it is being spent directly into these retailers.
100%. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, look, I mean, they are talking extending this national income grant now in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. It will have a lot of, it will help. I mean, there's no doubt it will help, but we're just still not creating jobs here. I mean, we're still just seeing, you know, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen, you know, further retrenchments, big proposed retrenchments from big companies around the border. I mean, we've seen the unions still upping their arms and they're still, you know, upping against a couple of sectors. It's not abating. Unfortunately, we're just not growing the domestic economy from a jobs perspective. I mean, that's the most worrying sign. And for us this year, I mean, I think the big, big headwind is going to be, you know, further electricity constrictions coming out and, you know, potential rolling blackouts, which you could see into the third and fourth quarter. I mean, that's our big worry on the domestic side for this year, and that's not going to do well from a consumer perspective.
What about rising interest rates? We had a rate increase last year, just 50 basis points. Market's probably looking at another 2 or 3 over the next year, maybe 18 months. Is that significant enough to also have impact, or is that modest, particularly in lower income who perhaps don't have prime-linked debt?
I mean, it all filters through. I mean, we saw the reductions in interest rates. I mean, the savings from that at discretionary level were roughly about 30 billion mm-hmm. From the previous interest rate reductions that we saw come to the consumer. And there's obviously some capital savings on that as well on your bond repayments. And so it all adds up. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, in a constrained environment, it's helping significantly at the moment. So a couple of upticks there is also going to put strain on the consumer, you know, come the latter part of the year. That's a big number. It's going to be a big number on the way up. We haven't seen significant growth in credit over the last 12 months, but there are sectors of the economy or sectors of the banking. We've seen some growth coming through in the likes of Absa, Standard Bank on the mortgage side, you know, up between 7% and 9% on those numbers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of constriction coming as rates rise.
A quick last question. You mentioned ShopRite as a stock that you hold and certainly done incredibly well, certainly in my portfolio. Are there any that you're particularly looking at on the short side, or is it a case of perhaps a little too early?
I think it's a little too early for us. I mean, it's a messy base. I mean, if you look back at last year, there were some starts and stops to the system. You saw obviously liquor opening and closing probably 5-6 times during the course of last year. I think for us, it's a question of just trying to see, you know, what the normalized base is in these businesses. On the other side of ShopRite, I mean, you know, we do think Spar's going to have a tough year. They're just not matching up to the delivery content of 60-60 on the ShopRite side from an internet perspective, an online perspective. So, you know, they're taking massive share there. We don't think Pick and Pay is followed in the footsteps of ShopRite. And again, the whole Massmart stable, you know, I mean, given the significant losses that we saw coming out of the trading update, I mean, that's going to be a tough year for them to resurrect that business into a hard environment. So there's obviously opportunity on the short side. We're just waiting a little bit on that and, potentially into the first or second rate increases. You know, retailers per se don't do well into that rate environment. The banks outperform generally. So, I mean, our preference would be to be long banks as a sector, a bet as a long bet, and then a short bet against that would be, you know, naturally the retailers against that.
We'll leave it there. Evan Walker, Portfolio Manager, 361 Asset Management. Always appreciate the time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Bianca Boitis, director at Citadel Global, talking exchange controls in South Africa. Bianca, appreciate the time this morning. Exchange controls, I can remember back into the 80s. I'm old enough to remember when it was, we had two dual currencies and really restrictive exchange controls. Over the last couple of decades, they've come down markedly. But in a sense, I note you put out recently that actually there is benefits to the South African economy in terms of exchange controls helping the economy.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, absolutely. There are benefits to the South African economy. One of those benefits, for instance, is avoiding dumping. So making sure that we keep our balance of payments in check, that our imports doesn't exceed our exports, and making sure that we actually stimulate production within the South African economy. Now, a lot of people won't necessarily agree that it has been successful, but it definitely aims to achieve those goals.
I suppose that is the process. But is that more sort of aimed at corporate SA rather than individual? Because for the average individual, you can take the million rand with little process. And for most people, that's more than you've got in a year.
Yes, so for most exchange control regulations, it's definitely more applicable to corporate South Africa. However, when we start looking at our high net worth individuals within South Africa, we need to be careful because, as you mentioned, while there's not a lot of admin around the SDA, which is your 1 million allowance, there is quite a bit of reporting and restrictions when it comes to your 10 million and when you start exceeding your 10 million. And South Africans need to be careful that they actually just comply with those regulations, making sure that they are going through the BOP reporting process, even if it's on the 1 million.
And I suppose from that sense, and as I said, the process has become a lot easier and the like. And I take your point on especially the high net worth to whom the million is not significant. It really is. It's going to be about keeping paperwork and frankly getting experts involved, because whilst it's legal, there is process and SARS is unforgiving.
Absolutely. What we are seeing in the market is that SARS and the Reserve Bank are working closer and closer together. If you don't have the paperwork proving that the money you have offshore are authorized assets, for instance, it becomes very hard to transfer those assets in the state late. It becomes very hard to start donating those assets to your family members. So it's very important to actually retain that documentation, prove that it went through the required process, that it was reported in under the right category codes. And like I mentioned earlier, that's important on your SDA as well, not just on your 10 million.
Interesting point that you made as a last point was that the IMF actually allows economies such as ours, they call it a transitional economy, to actually apply those exchange controls. Because a lot of it in the olden days, and certainly South Africa in the 80s, it was really about sort of managing currencies more than anything else.
Absolutely. So what we're trying to prohibit is obviously capital flight out of South Africa, which will collapse the economy. And then in transitional economies, it is allowed under the IMF. So you won't necessarily find exchange control in the US, but you will definitely find exchange control to a much stricter level than South Africa in India, for instance. So it is allowed under the IMF. And luckily in South Africa, we are seeing them winding it down as the economy matures. However, it is used up until today to monitor for tax, to make sure that capital doesn't exit South Africa, and to make sure that we are actually engaging in legitimate business.
Yeah, and I take that point on. It's become perhaps a little bit more by tax than the others. We leave it there. Bianca Boitis, Director, Citadel Global, appreciate the time. Our poll today is around that exchange control on the offshore limits. You've got a million a year. In terms of legal, it's simple, but of course you've got to keep those records. Question on our LinkedIn and Twitter, where you can have your vote, have your say, is are you taking off? Are you doing as much as you can afford? Perhaps you don't have any money, or perhaps you're saying, nope, keeping it local. That's it for today. A poll yesterday on Twitter and LinkedIn, we were asking where you holidayed, having been chatting with the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. Of course, the UK sort of, I was going to say, put the brakes on. They actually just closed the door to us for about three and a half weeks there. Just over a third of you holidayed local. That's certainly what I did, Eastern Free State and the coast. Just over half of you were staying at home. A small number of you managed to sneak overseas, and an equally small number of you are the lucky folks who's still on holiday. LinkedIn and Twitter, have your say, have your vote. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.